Well, here we are in this bright, cheerful room. So first, I want to ask both of you, who are you, what do you do, and how long have you been doing it?
My name is Petey. I work with Sacramento Prisoner Support, an anarchist collective that that does support work for political prisoners and prisoners engaged in struggle. I've been doing it more consistently for the last 5 years or so, but pretty much off and on since I myself got out of prison in 2005.
Cool.
My name's Jenny. I also do work with Sacramento Prisoner Support. The collective has been around since, I think, 2004, but I have been involved since 2006. So.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add? From 2004 for the next few years, we were mostly engaged in kind of supporting activists in the Sacramento area that were getting arrested at protests and trying to provide support for them. And then Eric's case really kind of pushed us into the larger network of anarchist collectives doing prisoner support stuff, which happened in 2006.
Yeah.
Cool. You've already kind of talked about this, but what prisoners and prisoner movements are you currently in contact with?
So probably the main person that we do support for right now is Eric McDavid. He was arrested in 2006 in the Sacramento area. And so that's people in Sacramento who were in SPS jumped on his case pretty quickly and were visiting him like the day after he was arrested, basically, and have been involved in his case pretty intimately since then, including working closely with his lawyers and like drafting habeas petitions and all that kind of stuff. So that work has been pretty intensive, but also really rewarding in a lot of ways. Since then, since his trial ended and things have calmed down a little bit, we've started sort of expanding a little bit, and we now do support for lots of political prisoners all across the country. Most recently, we've been working with Rebecca Rubin quite a bit, the NATO 3 folks, the Cleveland 4 folks, who else? PD rights with a lot of folks right now too.
Yeah, we've been developing a relationship with a political prisoner who just got moved, to a state prison right near us, who goes by Yogi Bear, whose state name is Hugo Pinnell, was a part of the San Quentin Six, which is a case in the late 70s where there was an uprising in a particular unit at San Quentin State Prison. He spent most of his time recently at Pelican Bay State Prison, which is in the far northwest corner of California, a really awful place. Mm-hmm. And he just got recently moved, and we've been developing a relationship with him, and are going to try to start visiting him as well. And that's been a really awesome experience. I bet we'll have mail from him in the PO box when we get back to Sacramento. We've been trying to develop more relationships with more California prisoners as well. We tried to do as much support work as we could for the Tinley Park Five, who are five anti-fascist activists that were part of an action where individuals disrupted a meeting of neo-Nazis at a restaurant in Tinley Park, which is a suburb of Chicago. Well, they emphatically disrupted this meeting, to say the least. Anyway, and there was 18 individuals that went into this restaurant, and they were the five that ended up getting arrested subsequently, unfortunately. Three are still in. One is due out in a month and raising money to, or help, or a part of a coalition that's raising money. Us and Bloomington ABC and New York City ABC are trying to raise money to get him some money when he gets out. We also helped in that effort for the other two that are already out now of that five. And by the end of the year, all five should be out. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to have more conversations and encouraging others to have conversations about what it means to do post-prison support for political prisoners. What it means for a radical community to embrace a radical coming out of prison. We're a small group. We try to do a lot. We also know what we can do within our means.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And tell us why you do this work and why you think it's important.
So I got involved in this work in 2006, like I said, right after Eric got arrested, because specifically because Eric is my partner. So I feel like a very personal connection to it, obviously, for that reason. Since then, you know, because Eric's in prison, these issues have become really important to me personally, and understanding like how prison affects me in my life and him in his life and then his family and all of that. And also just feeling like, you know, when somebody involved in struggle goes to prison, I think it's really important that they remain a part of that struggle and a part of the movements that they were a part of before they went in. You know, these are our friends and our comrades and people that we care about and have relationships with. And I think, you know, part of the point of prison from the state's perspective is to alienate people and isolate them and to break them in that way. And I think that maintaining relationships with those people and keeping them involved in the things they cared about before they went to prison is crucial for maintaining their courage and their strength while they're inside. And you know, I think that we also gain from that, and our movements gain from that and become stronger. And so I think, you know, prisoner support work is super important for that reason, and lots of other reasons, of course, but that's the main reason I think I stay involved in it.
I wanted to, you know, before I answer that question, I wanted to go back real quick to talking about Eric and kind of the work we do around Eric McDavid. Another thing, you know, I feel like we do, you know, maybe more recently or somewhat recently within the last couple of years is really try to encourage sustaining support for long-term prisoners, you know, and what that can look like and what that means, you know, because it can be really easy to sort of lose sight of that and to, you know, almost unfortunately forget about a particular prisoner, you know, because they're serving such a lengthy sentence. So we really try and kind of get creative and try to keep the conversation alive of what it means to sustain support for a particular prisoner who's in for a lengthy period of time. I just wanted to add that. Mm-hmm. My story is kind of simple. I did 2 years in federal prison, and then I did 6 months on a violation from the supervised release that I was given after the prison sentence. And my experience in prison, my experience in the federal system for those 4+ years through my federal saga, I just have never been able to leave behind. And it was a political case. And it was definitely a pretty decent example of what could go right in a political case. And I know that's not always the case. Even in political cases, it's hard to find a good activist attorney. It's hard to find yourself with solid co-defendants. It just doesn't always go so well. And I'm fortunate that mine went very well. But I know it. That's not always the case. And I also know very well what it's like to go through all types of stuff. You know, prison, county jail, transports, all types of stuff, end up in the hole, even for short stints, but end up in the hole nonetheless, deal with dietary restrictions. I was vegan, I am vegan and was vegan through my prison experience, and that had its trials and things. So, when I got out, I was very sure that that's the type of activism I wanted to get into, and I'm sure that's what I'll be doing for the rest of my life.
Cool. So what kind of strategies would you like to see emerge or develop among the folks who do prisoner support work?
I would like to see, you know, strong collectives, you know, throughout North America as I see. But within those collectives, I would like to see more sort of coalitions that exist from that consist of like members of different collectives throughout North America that want to work on particular things, strengthening the larger network. You know, so if Jenny and I are very interested in post-prison support, and we're in touch with another particular collective in a different part of the country, together, you know, we're we're developing a particular project that is anarchists working on post-prison support. Or that's just one example, but something like that, where we as Sacramento Prisoner Support are still doing a lot of Sacramento Prisoner Support driven things, projects, but then also from Sacramento Prisoner Support, we're also a part of particular coalitions that strengthen the larger network that we're a part of.
Yeah, I definitely second all of that. And I think PD has also identified one thing in particular that I have been particularly interested in the last several years, and I've heard several other people talk about it recently, which is post-prisoner support. I think it's one of the things that we are finally starting to get a little bit better at. PD and several other folks have done really good work around post-prison support for the Tinley Park Five, and that's been really exciting to see that sort of develop. But I think that there's still a lot of learning to be done in that area, and I hope that we can sort of work together to figure that out. And I think the other thing that has been exciting about that is that it isn't just one group that's doing that. It's several prisoner support groups working together on it, which is kind of what Petey was just talking about. And then I guess the flip side of that, the other thing I would like to see us get better at is keeping people out of prison so we don't have to do prisoner support work. And I think, there are a million different directions we could go when thinking and talking about that. I think one thing that I have the most experience with that I'm interested in is how we do pretrial work and how we react when somebody's arrested. So that could be things like having some sort of structure or network in place to raise funds for people to hire lawyers, because as much as it fucking sucks, we need to hire good lawyers to get people through trial in a successful way. So I think things like that, sort of the before and after parts of prison and jail, are two areas that we should work on.
I would also like to add real quick. I know Jenny's working a little bit on a project that relates to this, but I would like to see a little bit more of an emphasis on the importance of visitation and how sometimes visitation is really tough when the prisoner's family or good friends that would visit the individual are very far from where they are, especially when the person is in the federal system and they can end up in a federal prison anywhere in the country, and their family or friends might be far away. I most likely will always have a tough time visiting prisoners because of my record, but I could say, for example, be a part of a conversation where, hey, maybe I'm helping driving some individuals to a particular prison so someone can get a visit from a good friend or their mother or whoever, or maybe even just having fundraisers, where those funds go to travel costs for visits. But just understanding that visits are incredibly important for prisoners, and providing a prisoner with your phone number and writing a letter is incredibly important as well, but also a lot simpler. And just making visitation more important or more of an emphasis.
And I think that also touches back on what you were talking about a minute ago, as far as long-term support, like figuring out how to do support for folks who are in, for 20 years, like Eric, for example, or Marie Mason, or a lot of the BLA folks or the Black Panther folks who have already been in that long. And we also obviously have a lot to learn from folks like that who have experience mm-hmm. with long-term support. So I think we need to be building those networks as well and strengthening those relationships. But yeah, long-term support is also super important, and visitation goes a long way towards that.
Okay, and so on September 9th this upcoming year, prisoners across the states are organizing a united movement, sometimes in the form of hunger strike, but also in other ways, work stoppages, etc., so to end the solitary confinement and improve other conditions of imprisonment. So, I know that you all focus more on political prisoners, but do you have any thoughts on what the outcomes of these actions might be?
Again, I'd like to go back real quick. Just in the name of clarity, because I said, we're building a relationship with a prisoner who is in a nearby prison now, Yogi Bear, and I do understand that most likely I will not be approved to visit Yogi Bear, and if I'm not, then I could drive Jenny or another activist, and there's a lake nearby, and so I could provide transport, and I could go to the lake and hang out at the lake, and then go pick them up afterwards, and hear about the visit, and we can come back to Sacramento and talk more about it, and maybe some things that Yogi Bear brought up we could talk about. I hope I am approved, but I also understand there's other things I could do if I'm not approved. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I like this idea a lot. I always think back on you know, I like history, probably like a lot of activists do, and I understand that you know it's important to learn from history, and I like thinking back on Attica and the sort of domino effect that happened after Attica and all the prison uprisings that happened as an inspiration after Attica. Yeah. And I feel like by grabbing a particular date and trying to build momentum around a particular date, I feel like it could have that domino effect afterwards, definitely, but it could also be a sort of synchronized effort, which could be a real threat to the overall establishment, really, and then and definitely to the prison structure.
I secretly overheard someone else being interviewed on this question, so I feel like I'm cheating, but I think it was Bo I was overhearing, but I think they made a great point, whoever it was, that, and I've been hearing this actually a lot this weekend, but that we always need to remember to ask the folks that we are supposedly helping. And I think, you know, if we want to think about how we can aid in this mobilization, it's really important to talk to prisoners who are potentially going to be a part of it. Whether or not they've decided to do that yet or can talk about it, who knows? People have different positions within prison, and sometimes it's not okay for them to talk about that with people outside of prison. But I think it's really critical that we talk to folks inside and see what they need from us on the outside and how what we do out here can help them inside.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Cool. So how would you suggest that we could try to inform or include prison populations that might not already be involved, like women, female prisoners, prisoners in regions with less activity and support, folks in immigration detention center, county jails, and things like that? Do you have any ideas?
I'd actually like to hear other people's answer on that. I don't have a lot of answers for that, and haven't even really developed a lot of strong opinions on it either. It's definitely something I've thought about, especially with female prisoners, especially within the last few years. Writing this one particular woman, who is in prison for 17 to life I forget the name of the prison, but it's down in Southern California, and she's so open to the different things I bring up. I'll start talking about like the XL pipeline, and she'll be like, "Oh, tell me more about that. Send me some articles." And she's just so open. And I got her a subscription to Mother Jones magazine, and she's passing it around to other prisoners. She's in this lifers group, and she passes around the different articles that she's enjoyed the most to other lifers. And she's just so open. She wanted to hear more about the California the hunger strike, and she said all the women in there were so inspired by the men in Corcoran and Pelican Bay. Prisoners in regions with less activity and support. Yeah, I don't know. This is definitely a question that I would love to hear more people talking about, and I would love to just, you know, almost be like a witness to some more conversations about this, because I haven't really developed a whole lot of thoughts around it, strong opinions around it. It's definitely something I'm interested in, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I guess, like, maybe the most obvious answer is to just be in touch with the folks we know who are in prison. And for some of us who do prisoner support work, that's a substantial amount of people. And, you know, just send them information about it as much as possible. Maybe that information will get in, and maybe it won't. but, you know, being creative about how we share that information with them, and making sure that they, you know, know that we would love it if they shared it with other people. And then, you know, also I think a lot of us maybe have connections with prisoners in county jails or detention centers or other places that we don't even realize that we have connections with those folks. So I think just talking about this with people we know inside and outside who might know folks is, you know, talk it out as much as possible, basically, is the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. Great. And lastly, for the new person who might be listening, what are some tips or advice that you have to someone who wants to get involved in this work but doesn't know how?
This might end up being my theme of this interview, but I want to go back again. I wouldn't want anybody to think that Mother Jones is the way to radicalize other prisoners, but starting from scratch, I thought it was a good entry, and I'm starting to send her more radical articles and as we kind of build our relationship. But moving on to this question, again, another question that I definitely don't have real strong opinions on, or I haven't had a lot of thoughts around, but there's very few of us doing this work, and too few actually, and it would be really empowering and inspiring to see more people, even just two. Three more. You know, it's interesting too, because it's a lot of it is so accessible. You know, I mean, a lot of us sitting right here. You know, we make the addresses and prisoner stories so available, and we really try to get it out there. And people. It's just, I think a lot of times, you know, we just have to let people know where to find this information, and once you start writing a particular prisoner, you know, that can be so much right there. Especially when you can kind of build a particular relationship with a particular prisoner, and you can take that all the way to when they're released. Mm-hmm. And especially when it's a one-on-one kind of thing, and you can get more creative. You can be like, well, I don't want it to just be a letter. I want to get some more pictures in there and get some more color in there. I do art. I'm gonna put one of my drawings in there and things like that. It can be that simple, but that relationship is incredible and so important. And then that person is telling one of their friends or somebody else about this relationship they developed with a prisoner, and maybe it can move along that easily. I don't know. I mean, I think we can just keep going with trying to get this information out there. I love tabling, and I feel like each time we table, I talk to somebody who's never even thought of the concept of supporting prisoners. You know, not that they rejected it, because you know, but just that they never even thought of it. And then we start talking about it, and they start picking up literature, and they start embracing the idea. And you know, I would love to think that they went home and they started reading the literature, and maybe even wrote a prisoner. I would say that those of us that are committed to it, just keep getting the information out there, whether it's on the internet or whether it means tabling or whether it means leafleting at marches and other events where it might be a target audience, where it might be a sort of sympathetic crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. When SPS first started, I think, especially after Eric got arrested and we started working on more serious cases, I think one thing that was really helpful to us was finding other folks who had done prisoner support work and, you know, constantly asking them for feedback and insight and, like, how do we handle this situation? And, oh, this crazy thing just happened, and has that ever happened to you, and how did you handle it? And I think that having, like, an accessible network for new people to sort of plug into, which this is part of, which is great, is really super helpful. And, you know, people who do prisoner support work don't do it because it's glamorous. They do it because, you know, they're really passionate about it and committed to it. And I don't think I've ever met anybody who does this work who isn't, like, fucking stoked to help somebody new figure out how to do it. So, like, people should remember that if they're excited about it and wanting to get involved. There's, like, you know, a ton of people who would love to help you do that. So definitely, you know, make sure that you use those connections and you use that network that's already there. And, you know, the sort of unfortunate thing that, that I think Petey was just sort of alluding to is that, you know, people in prison, you often can't visit. You often can't see them or interact with them in the ways that you want. But the sort of like silver lining to that maybe is that you can write a letter. anybody can write a fucking letter. That's like an easy thing to do. And that's also like one of the most important things to do, especially when you start getting involved in prisoner support work. You know, building those connections with people and those relationships is really in a lot of ways sort of the heart of prisoner support work. And that's a really great place to start. I think the other important thing to remember about this kind of work, though, is that once you start supporting somebody, it's really important to be committed to it and not just drop those commitments, because people inside really count on and need these connections. And a lot of times, you know, they'll start asking you for things like articles about particular things. Maybe they, Petey's helping somebody right now get information so they can write an article. And, you know, they really rely on folks on the outside sometimes to get information like that. So it's super important once you start building these connections and these relationships to maintain them for the long haul. And, you know, again, that's why this work is both really important and really hard.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, cool story. We were supposed to give a presentation at the Humboldt Anarchist Book Fair and table at the Humboldt Anarchist Book Fair. Jenny couldn't make it, unfortunately. I still went up and gave the presentation and tabled and talked a lot about how, like Jenny was saying earlier, we do a lot of work around Eric McDavid's case, and we also do a lot of work around Marie Mason's case, who's an anarchist and a radical environmentalist doing 22 years in federal prison, about 22 years in federal prison. And somebody got in touch with us after that, just before the Bay Area Anarchist Book Fair this year. A month earlier, something like that, you know, they got our contact information because we did our thing at the Humboldt Anarchist Book Fair. And because of that, they got in touch with us and they really wanted to do a letter writing night where it would also be almost like a educational night about Marie's case. And they would encourage letter writing to Marie, so they wanted to meet up with us at the Bay Area Anarchist Book Fair. They wanted to get literature about Marie, and they wanted to just kind of, you know, bounce some ideas off of us. Like Jenny was saying before, they saw value in being able to chat with us about an event that they were excited about doing in the very near future. And they found us at the Anarchist Book Fair in Oakland, and we talked with them, and then, really exciting, about a week later, we got an email at our email address, and they shared with us the flyer for the letter writing night. And that was really exciting. I really liked how that all transpired and how that developed.
Is there anything else that you all want to add?
Probably.
If you ask another question, then he'll come back to this one.
Maybe there will be something more, but I do have a last, question. Do you want to quickly plug Sacramento Prisoner Support? How can folks find you? And what sort of things do you all need, like immediate need for support?
Okay. So we do not have a website, but we do have an email address. It's just sacprisonersupport@riseup.net. And probably like the best way folks could help us is, you know, if we're coming to an event near you, come visit our table and check out our literature. But probably more importantly than that is just like supporting, you know, prisoners and supporting the folks that we're really supporting hard right now. June 11th is coming up, and that's the International Day of Solidarity with Marie Mason and Eric McDavid. Folks should definitely check out stuff about that. If there's an event near you, you should definitely support it. But yeah, I think, you know, we would love it if folks in the area contacted us to help out. We do letter writing nights and hold events locally and stuff like that. But yeah, most importantly, I think, is just like checking out the folks, the prisoners that need support and supporting them.
Jenny plugged June 11th, which actually ended up being a really important day for Eric and for Marie too. After June 11th, we get lots of checks coming in from all around the world, really, but definitely all around North America at the PO box, and it's just a great day for to raise awareness about Eric, and like we were saying before, remind people that he's in for a long period of time, and it's important to keep the conversation going about his case and about entrapment, and that it definitely takes funds to keep supporting him and all. That continuing of the effort does take funds, and that is June 11th. Well, minus the TH, so it's June11.org. So yeah, check it out. And then yeah, like Jenny said, email us. Maybe we tend to work on different things as time goes on. So email us and ask if there's any ways you could help out with any project we're working on. That'd be great. Like we talked about earlier, trying to raise money for the Tinley Park Five as they get out. New York City ABC right now has that campaign plugged on their website, and that's nycabc.wordpress.com. So you could check that out and see how you could help out in supporting Cody Lee Sutherland as he's getting out next month.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was fun.